We have the arrival of the county executive, Steve Ballone. We welcome him. Sir, how are you?
I'm good, Jay. Good morning. How are you?
It is a pleasure. We got a lot happening, lots happening, including the vaccine and everything else, shots in the arms. And we've been doing a great job here. You know, the sites, the medicine, and there is a little bit of concern, I guess, with hesitancy and even those who have gotten one shot and not showing up for shot two, which is crazy. But all in all, the job is being done about inoculating folks, right?
Yeah, we've got about half the people in the county who've been vaccinated, who've received at least one dose of the vaccine. And, you know, we want to get to that place that they describe as herd immunity. And we want to get there because, you know, my feeling on this, Jay, after everything we've been through all the pain and devastation in people's lives and the way our lives have been turned upside down, small businesses that have struggled and many have been forced to close because of the pandemic, after all that, I want to get to a place where we can say that this virus is done. We have defeated the virus. It is gone. Now, we may never be able to, you know, fully say that, but we want to get to a place where the virus, it really is almost impossible for it to spread. And to get there, you just have to have enough people vaccinated so the virus has no place to go. And, you know, that's the reason we need to get, you know, everybody vaccinated who's eligible, as many people as possible.
President came in yesterday, right? He just got a new goal for the vaccinations regarding at least one dose to 70% of the U.S. adult population. That by Independence Day, July the 4th. So listen, it's out there. You know, Pfizer is going to go 12 to 15, that age group. 16-year-old, it can. You can walk in. You don't even need an appointment. A lot of spots, you got to bring identification. But let's face it, when it comes to the hesitancy, I mean, that is still the barrier here. Because the medicine's there, the sites are there. It's just a matter of people wanting to get the shot who are eligible. And basically, everybody's almost eligible here. So that's the sticking point right now, correct?
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. And you know, that's why we are doing our Take Your Shot campaign, you know, getting the message out to the public that the vaccines are safe. We've had millions and millions of people vaccinated. You know, it's been very successful, no issues. And, you know, this is the way for us to not only return to normalcy, but know that we've put this virus behind us. And, you know, we have a lot of recovery to do. There are things that we haven't begun to grapple with that, you know, are going to be outgrowths of the pandemic. And we'll be doing that work over the next couple of years, and I'm very confident as we emerge from this pandemic that we're going to come out of this stronger than ever before. But we need, I think, psychologically, I think, you know, for all of us, after what we've been through, we need to know that we've sort of killed this thing and is behind us, and we're able to move forward and build back with that knowledge in hand.
Put a fork in it. Let's see what happens.
Yep.
Now, with that being said, we had some announcements, some loosening of the restrictions, and I got a bone to pick with Albany, Steve, and that is these outdoor venues, such as stadiums, concert, you know, I'm talking about the amphitheater and our beloved concert situation in Farmingville. Yep. It takes place all the time, so it is unbelievable. It's a great place. And I'm talking about May 19th, so, you know, you're going from 20 to 33%. Now, I have said all along, why not 50? I mean, come on. I mean, the levels are low enough, and I said all along, you know, you look at the Ducks, Memorial Day, that's always a happening, a staple in Suffolk. And planning has to be put in place, staffing, concessions, security, you name it. It's got to be there. There has to be a period of time to do that. I can't figure out why only 33%. Have you been, and I think you're on the same page with me here, have you been in touch with Albany, and do we see anything in the next day or two to warrant even going larger there?
Yeah, we continue to press on this issue, and we have been for some time. We've been pushing for faster reopening, and particularly when you're talking about the outdoors, Jay. honestly, and you know this, we were pushing for the Ducks to be able to reopen last season at Fairfield Properties Ballpark because during the summer, we had gotten the positivity rate down to 1% that was maintained throughout the summer. But by the summer, we knew that the outdoor environment was just significantly different than indoor. And that's why we were the first in New York State to say we're going to reopen our beaches. We did that early on because we wanted to send a message that we're going to have a summer. After that terrible spring we went through, we said, and kids are home, and you know, we're coming into the summer season. That's why we love Long Island. We're going to have a summer here. So we reopened the beaches. But unfortunately, we weren't able to have the Ducks play last season, and we're very much looking for them to be back on the ball field and have the park, Fairfield Properties Ballpark, up and running again. And these restrictions just don't work. 33% for the outdoors. Think about this, Jay. You have right now the capacity restrictions, 50% in gyms, 50% in casinos in the state, and you have 75% in offices. Those are all indoor environments, and none of those environments require testing. And yet for an outdoor venue, like sitting at a ballpark with your family, you know, distance somewhat from the next group, you can't have 50% capacity. It really doesn't make any sense. We are pushing hard to see that number increased. Our, as you mentioned, Dave, the numbers are down. We're below 2%, back in the ones again, like we were last summer. Hospitalizations are down dramatically since the start of the second wave. So we're in a different place. Almost half the people in the county have been vaccinated at this point. There's no reason, in our view, with the Ducks, for example, having a great plan, where in an outdoor venue like that, an outdoor concert venue, you cannot have 50%. And we really are pushing hard to see that changed.
No question. I mean, if you want to say indoor, okay. Wait and see. Right. Outdoor, come on. I mean, if anyone saw Yankee Stadium last night, and almost 11,000 right. people, it sounded 40,000 with all the booing and everything else with those hated Astros in town. But, I mean, how great. Yeah, I mean, it just sounded great. I tell you, I didn't even want to go to bed last night because I was riveted. It was just great having fans. It's great hearing the noise. That's what we need here on the island, you know. And we can do it, you know. So
we can.
Yeah. Wait and see. Let's hope that common sense prevails here. Steve Ballone, county exec, with us. Now, switching gears, big announcement regarding water. And, you know, it's all about reducing the nitrogen pollution that you spoke about years ago, Steve. But a big announcement regarding funding, eliminating some of these outdated septic systems, cesspools. And they've been identified by, you know, some of the scientists as really, you know, an excess situation that have fouled the local bays and harmful algal blooms and beach closures, fish kills, you name it. But that's a big announcement. A lot of money now being provided, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. On Earth Day, we announced $100 million in new investment to address the water quality issues that have built up over decades here. And we've made it our mission in Suffolk County that we're going to not only work to protect water quality, we're going to reverse the decades of decline. And we have to do that because water is everything to us on Long Island. It really is. It's our way of life. It's our recreation, tourism. We have a $6.3 billion tourism that's based on that. People live here because we love our beaches and bays. We love fishing and boating. And the water we drink is beneath our feet. So literally, if we're not protecting water quality here, we are sacrificing our future. We just can't do it. And so we made that announcement, that $100 million investment in water quality that is a combination of federal, state, and county sources. Big portion of that help coming directly from the aid that Senator Schumer was able to deliver as majority leader. We're very grateful for his efforts to get direct aid delivered to municipalities and states in the form of COVID relief. So that's helping us to move forward two major sewer projects around the Carles River and Babylon, the Fords River in Mastic, on the Mastic Peninsula, and this is going to allow sewering to take place around these major river corridors to take this pollution out of the water and to help restore the quality of our bays and rivers and streams and our water quality overall. And we're also have additional funding now, $30 million for the individual advanced septic systems, the ones that treat for pollution. So as opposed where the places where sewering can't work or doesn't make sense, you know, you have these septic systems that will be able to assist homeowners to make them affordable, because we cannot do programs like this if it's not affordable for homeowners. It's got to be able to work for homeowners. So this allows us to do the grants that bring those costs down, but allow systems to be put into the ground that are treating for the pollution so that we're protecting our entire region. So this was a big announcement, critical, and another major step forward in our campaign to reverse the decline in water quality that we've seen over the past number of decades.
And hopefully for years to come, a lot better as far as the quality by doing this. So that's well needed. Funds. A couple of minutes left with the county exec. You know, we had him on a couple of weeks ago. That was Stu Caron. Steve, you know how I feel about the chief. I've known him a long time. He to become the interim commissioner, and this is Geraldine Hart's last week. And, you know, I tell you, 3 years on the job, and, you know, she did a lot of good things, Geraldine Hart. She really did. You know, it's kind of very much under the radar, but she got things done. And she's taking another post, other endeavors, and everything else, Geraldine. So here comes the chief. We had him on. And listen, I'm one of his biggest fans. I've known him a long time, as you know, back to the Riverhead days. And I say make it permanent. Put that moniker on his desk. But we'll see what happens. But I know there is a search going on. Can you tell us anything more regarding this very important post in Suffolk County right now?
Well, first of all, I greatly appreciate the service of Commissioner Hart, who came in after the Police Commissioner Cini, who was elected district attorney. She came in to continue the reform and build upon the work that Commissioner Cini had done. She came in as the head of the FBI on Long Island and just another person of integrity. And she did some amazing things and helped lead the department through some of the most challenging times during COVID, when you had the social unrest and protests around the country, including here. We had well over 100 protests. She did a great job leading the department through the police reform task force. And so, you know, she was here 3 years, but it was a very busy 3 years. And through all those efforts has continued to see crime decline and continue to drive down crime in Suffolk County. And that's very important. I think what we've demonstrated here and what we're going to continue to demonstrate, that you can do police reform, you can reimagine policing and continue to advance and make progress at the same time. You know, honoring our police officers, respecting the work that they do, and making sure that you're continuing to focus on the mission, which is to keep communities safe across Suffolk County. That's exactly what we have done here. And Stuart Cameron, the chief, is, as you said, Jay, he is a man of integrity, first and foremost, extraordinary experience in the department, and he's coming back to the role he had when Commissioner Cini went over to the district attorney's office. He's coming in as the acting commissioner now. And, you know, I know he's going to continue to lead the department the same way he has as chief, which is with excellence and integrity. And we have a lot of important work to do, but I'm confident with him at the helm that it will continue. And as we move forward, we'll be doing that search, and we do a search that's far and wide. We want to see everyone that's out there. It's a time of transition in policing as well, so we want to see what's out there. But I'm very comfortable that the department is in great hands with Chief Cameron at the helm.
There's no question about it. With Stu there, I'll tell you, he's such a wonderful guy. Final thought here. You know, I await this whole Spoda McPartland deal to come about, Joan Asrick, with the the sentence in come June the 30th. But, man, I'll tell you, you know, you're reading about all this stuff with a former DA. And I'm wondering what goes through the mindset of a Steve Ballone when you read all this stuff and one of your predecessors way back in time and Steve Levy and all that went down. I mean, now listen, you know, we know that you and the former DA were never on the same page. A lot of times I'm never on the same page. And I always remember the incident on the steps and everything else, the back and forth. But I can only imagine what a Steve Ballone is thinking when all this stuff is coming out regarding Tom Spoda. Listen, I had two sit-downs with this guy, and he gave me more stuff, you know, than he gave anyone else, and it was fascinating. But I got to tell you, it's somewhat alarming, a guy who held a post for 16 years, and you have all of these revelations, Steve. I can't imagine what you're thinking regarding this as leader of the county and everything, regarding your DA here. It's unbelievable. What were you thinking here when all this stuff coming out?
Well, it's disturbing, but unfortunately wasn't surprising for me because it's what I experienced from the time that I got here. You know, remember, in the federal trial for Spoda and McPartland, it was revealed that they had ordered detectives in the Suffolk County Police Department to spy on me when I came in as county executive, which they did. And they targeted me and members of my administration and people around me from the time I started. So I came to understand what this was over time, which is this was a corrupt operation. This is why when I was on the steps of the DA's office more than 5 years ago, I said they were running a criminal enterprise out of this office. And what they did was to target people they perceived as enemies, people that were a threat to their operation. And they used the power of the office to also protect the people they considered friends who were loyal to them. It was a disturbing, disgusting abuse of power and corruption that has had, Jay, I can tell you, an incalculable negative impact. The damage that this corrupt operation has done to county government and to the public in ways that it's hard to understand. And in making this government really broken and dysfunctional in so many ways, when I came into office, it's really tough to explain how bad it was. And I think when you have revelations like this, it gives the public a little bit of an understanding of the damage and the cost of the corruption that has occurred here. And it's why I was targeted, because I have focused on reforming this place and this government since I got here. We're going to continue those efforts. We will not stop fighting for reform. And honestly, the key was not only removing that corruption from the DA's office, but making sure that you replaced it with a person of integrity who is going to wipe and sweep out that culture of corruption. That's what happened when we elected the former police commissioner, the former assistant U.S. attorney from the Southern District of New York, Tim Sweeney, who has done an incredible job reforming that office and helping to drive down crime, whether you're talking about human trafficking or environmental crime or addiction, and going after the dealers while working to help get people who are addicted into treatment. The innovation that he's brought to the office, and you know, the battle against MS-13, which we've talked about a lot, over the years. You know, he's really led the fight, and it's an incredible difference to have somebody like that, a person of integrity, holding the power of the district attorney's office as compared to what we've seen here in the past with Spoda and other DAs in the past.
A power position to begin with, and the abuse, my goodness. When you read about this stuff, it makes your skin crawl. It really does.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens if justice prevails come June the 30th. Fascinating. Steve Ballone, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, no question. The county executive, Suffolk County. Steve, let us know anything we need as far as the take the shot and everything else. We keep pushing it. So we'll be on that. And anything you need, you know we're here.
Thanks a lot, Jay. We appreciate that. We want to keep encouraging people to take their shot, get that vaccine, and help us end this pandemic once and for all.